Welcome back to the Success is My Religion podcast. We are partnering with the HBCU Experience Movement once again, this time for the HBCU Royal University Queens Second Edition. We will be interviewing the Queens for their next book that's coming out September 30th. I hope you enjoy these episodes. Next, we have Olivia Turner. Olivia Turner is a native Californian who pursued her dream of attending an HBCU. Ms. Turner, without a campus visit, decided that Texas Southern University would be her home after graduating from Paris High School. Ms. Turner graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Mathematics and a minor in Health Studies. During her tenure at Texas Southern University, she played an integral role in several impactful organizations on campus, such as Society of Urban Mathematics, Habitat for Humanity, National Organization of Black Chemists and Chemical Engineers, Tiger Yearbook, Collegiate 100 Black Women, and the National Society for Black Engineers. She is a member of the Delta Gamma chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated, with a focus on high academic achievement and volunteerism. Ms. Turner was a recipient of TSU's Lewis Stokes Alliance Minority Participation Scholarship, the Thomas F. Freeman Honor Scholarship, and the Marine Corps Scholarship, Foundation Scholarship, Scholarships for Military Children, and Wooten Grant recipient. Ms. Turner served as a Marine Corps Scholarship Ambassador, TSU Cost Student Ambassador, Black Student Union Ambassador, and a U.S. Dream Academy Mentor. Ms. Turner served as Miss Texas Southern University 2012. During her reign, she focused heavily on education reform. Her platform, Bridging the Gap Between Mathematics and Minorities, was created in order to close the educational gap between students and mathematics by providing skills and development through mentorship. Ms. Turner won second place in the Verizon Ultimate Reign competition and used the prize winnings to host the first TSU Tiger Games, which was a high school mathematics competition for Houston inner city schools. She also funded two scholarships for undergraduate students with STEM-focused degrees. After graduating cum laude, Ms. Turner went on to pursue a career in cybersecurity and information technology. With the knowledge and experience gained throughout her professional career, she volunteers with STEM programs and participates on panels to give insight on how to jumpstart your career in consulting and technology. Currently, Olivia is a senior cyber engineer for Deloitte, a multinational professional services network with offices in over 150 countries and territories around the world. In her spare time, Ms. Turner enjoys spending time with her son, running, traveling, and celebrating life with family and friends. In the future, Olivia hopes to be remembered as someone who was a role model for individuals from underrepresented communities and willing to open the door for others so that their path to greatness can be fulfilled. Enjoy this episode with Olivia Turner. Welcome to another episode of the Success is My Religion podcast. I'm here with Miss Olivia Turner, Miss Texas Southern University 2012. Am I correct?
Yes, that is me.
All right. Just tell us a little bit about you, yourself, and how you became Miss Texas Southern.
Okay, well, I am located in the greatest city ever, Houston, Texas, and I am a senior cyber engineer at Deloitte. I enjoy running. I like reading. I like to jump into a little fitness every now and then. I enjoy spending time with my family and my friends. I graduated with a degree in mathematics from Texas Southern University. And shortly after that, I just went on to pursue a career in mathematics turned cybersecurity.
You don't know how that happened.
You know, I basically, like anything else, just dove into an opportunity. And that is pretty much my life journey. Seeing an opportunity and going for it, and that kind of brings me to my journey for Miss Texas Southern University. A little brief on that would be my first steps on Texas Southern University as a freshman would be my first time ever being on campus, my first time ever being in Houston, and my first time being at an HBCU. So I basically took a very blind leap of faith.
Really?
Yes, and I'm from California.
Uh-huh.
And so I did not think I would attend HBCU, nor did I really know what an HBCU was, so I was about a junior or senior. Mm. In high school, I thought I was going to be in California. I was ready to go to whatever you see, Pepperdine, wherever I was going to be on the beach during my summers. I had it all pictured in my mind. And then I became the president of our Black Student Union and hosted our first Black College Fair on our campus. And I came across some rich history for HBCUs. I applied. I got into most of my choices, and the ones that I did get into, I was offered scholarships for, which made the choice much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of financial aid, we're going to take, especially the one we don't got to pay back. So I said, I'm going to go here. I'm just going to go here. I couldn't visit because it would have been, you know, just going cross country to visit a university, that was just not in the plans for me. It wasn't going to happen. My dad was a Marine. My mom, she was working. So I told them, hey, I want to go to Texas. And they were on board. They packed up everything. We drove down there.
They said, get out.
they said, they know that I'm very strong-willed. And once I make a decision, it's pretty much, I want it to happen. And, you know, I'm going to do what I have to do. I applied to my colleges. I wrote my letters. I got the letters of recommendation. So they knew I was serious.
Mm-hmm.
So went down there and, boom, made it to TSU, and within the first year and a half, I had come across Miss TSU at the Labor Day Classic, and I was like, I want to be that, and I need to figure out what I need to do to become queen.
It was that simple, just a decision?
Yes. Yes. Now, I didn't realize how much work would be behind it. but I said that whole presentation, I want to do that. Because you can gravitate towards things, and I gravitated toward that. And I knew that I wanted to make that happen. I took extra classes to become an early rising junior, because you had to be a junior to run for Miss TSU. Because I graduated high school in 2010, I was Miss TSU in 2012. So I was my second year in college.
Dang.
And we kind of do like a pageant boot camp where, you know, that way whoever is selected the winner of the pageant, you know, you basically, you know, you're not coming off, you know, rough around the edges, because you went through this boot camp and you've answered questions and you've practiced interviews, walking, waving, you know, the whole shebang. So, just fast forwarding, I remember like pageant competition night, and I did. My talent was to dance, and I'm actually not a really good dancer. I took like dance in middle school, but that was like theater art dance. It wasn't. It wasn't anything that competitively dancing. So my mom was in the hallways with me a couple times, working through a routine with me with the wild turkey.
Poor
Texas Southern. The floor, trying to show me some moves. I'm trying to, you know, replicate them. So we were like, whew. I said, let me tell you something. I just want this piece to be over.
Why'd you pick dancing, though?
You know, because I had to still find something that I had done before. And I didn't want, everyone was kind of starting to do like the same thing, and I want to stand out, and what would help make me stand out, you know, with being competitive is also being like, you know, analytical as well, right? You need to, you know, look at the competition and see what's going on. You know, if everyone was dancing, I probably wouldn't have danced. But you want to make sure that strategically you're putting yourself in a good position in a competition. And so for me, I said, well, I've done a little bit of dance, so maybe we can pull that out of me, even though it's, you know, about 7 years ago. You know, I actually thought about playing the saxophone because I had played the saxophone in elementary school. Now that's pushing it. I was pushing it for me. I was like, I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb. That's it. That's all I know in this instrument. That's not going to cut it in the competition.
Happy day. You couldn't even play that.
Could you imagine? Oh, my gosh. And it's just too, at least dancing, you know, you could just keep going if you mess up. And I did mess up, and I just kept going. I slid. I didn't know the floor was so slick that I did some move. And I remember sliding back. I said, just catch me, Jesus, please. but, you know, that instrument makes that sound. You know, it's like when somebody hits a note and it doesn't sound good. I know the audience said, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the together, that ooh gets really loud. But I had so much fun, you know, competing in that pageant. And I would do it over again. I just had a blast. I like competition. I've always done sports. Mm-hmm. But I had never done a pageant. So that was my first one.
How was your HBCU experience as a student?
You know, I always tell people this because it's the only thing I can compare it to. And, it was really like a drumline experience, but like times 1,000, right? Because I never attended an HBCU. I'd never been to any HBCU games. I'd never seen bands or anything like that. So everything for me was just like, oh my gosh, the band's amazing. The motions are amazing. The campus vibes are amazing. Fried Fish Friday is amazing. You know, it was just, it had its challenges, but there were way more ups than any downs that I had attending TSU and graduating.
That's dope. Your experience, and how did you get it? You did a lot on campus. That's why I'm kind of stuck. Tell me about that experience, because I did a lot, but I didn't do that much.
You know, because it's all in, it's just all those years, I always found something new to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll meet your classmates, and, you know, even when you join a sorority or fraternities, you end up networking more and kind of, you know, supporting more organizations, you know, in support of your classmates or your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I did Habitat for Humanity 1 year, and then, you know, went to the Cali Club meetings another year, and then, of course, did NAACP because my best friend was the president. And so I think one of those things about attending an HBCU is that you want to support your people, which means you got to join the organization or you got to show up for the organization. And for me, I think I've always just been a resource that is willing to be used. So if you you need to show up, just call me. Just text me. Tell me what time, what I got to do, what I got to bring. Do I need to bring water for anybody?
Just don't make me think. Just don't make me think. I'll do it, but just don't make me be a leader. I can be a leader, but.
Exactly. I want to turn on today. I just want these hands to move. Just tell me where I need to turn the wheel, wherever, and I'm here. I really do enjoy just being a background person.
A service.
I'm here to help. Yes, absolutely. Just a servant. I'm here to serve you in whatever capacity you need me to be here in. Please just don't hand me the mic. Just don't hand me the mic. Even though as Ms. PSU, you are a spokesperson and you do speak on behalf of your university and the organizations you're a part of, sometimes it's nice just to not be the face, but just like the hands, right? Just the people who are in the background getting things done and, you know, bringing support to whomever needs it.
I think I've been like, people been trying to force me to the front, and I kind of been hesitant. But now I see that like I'm needed in the front. But sometimes you can't get the whole experience from being the leader. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you got to experience everything before you are really able to lead in the way that you. For me. That you wanna lead. Like when I lead, like we about to win, and we are not stopping. And if you either with me or against me, that's what'd you say?
As if you ain't with it, you might hop off this ride.
I'm saying. I am. So, you know, now I'm kind of feeling it because, like, I've been preparing myself throughout the years for leadership and the leadership that I wanted to bring to our community, the community, all of that stuff. Sometimes you got to fly under the radar and.
Yes.
Get those necessary experiences because, like, I work at a high school now, and I've worked at a high school for the past 2 years. This is going on my third year, and you know, I placed myself there because I needed to observe the high school setting in the urban environment, and it is tough, like not tough as far as like connecting with the students and getting them where they need to be, but like helping them change their mindset. And I wanted to touch on that because I know you've created programs and did the Tiger Olympics or something like that. It might be different just because of the students wanting to be there instead of just the students having to be there.
Well, I can say I appreciate people who do fly under the radar and do, you know, do the groundwork because you bring a different dynamic once you get to leadership because you know what the foundation looks like. So people who fly under the radar, you know, I always think they're usually the people that know the most about what's happening in the background. And they're just kind of reporting, you know, whatever is asked of from leadership. So I definitely think understanding the foundation of whatever purpose we're doing is always key to success.
Mm-hmm.
And at TSU, the one thing I can really appreciate about being at CSU is you get time to really invest in your platform. And so the Tiger Games was a part of my platform, bridging the gap between mathematics and minorities. That seems to be a sore subject for all, no matter what grade. And so I hosted a mathematics bowl kind of set up Jeopardy style between inner city high schools. And I used the prize money that I got from the Verizon Ultimate Rain competition to give out prizes in support of their efforts at this academic bowl. So for me, that was me stepping into my purpose for my platform for Miss TSU. Because I enjoy math. I like math a lot. I got my degree in it. But I like people who want to learn more about math, or I like helping people get better at math, because there's really a change in perspective and even attitude when you actually take the time to invest knowledge into something about math. Especially if they don't understand, especially if they're struggling, is if they feel like they'll never get it. So my platform really gave me that leg up to invest back into the community.
So working with students and younger people, what do you, like, I don't know how to phrase this, but like, what are your thoughts?
What am I
thinking? Yeah, because
I think they're some of the best people to work with and the most influential. If you can catch them.
Right.
There are so many avenues. Mm-hmm. There's so many opportunities, and I feel like as a HBCU graduate who has seen these opportunities, it is my obligation to express those and show them and share them as much as possible. I got my first job offer before I graduated college because I attended the Thurgood Marshall College for Leadership Institute, which is a conference open to public HBCUs. And you basically go there, you learn your professionalism, your elevator speeches, you get to meet Fortune 100 companies who are interviewing on the spot and offering jobs. And so for me, that resource that provided my first job, that's because I had to apply for it and I had to research it. And now, you know, as a person who has attended, if I'm meeting anyone that is a freshman, sophomore, junior, I'm like, you need to apply. You know, you need to apply. If I meet you in high school, what do you think? Where are you thinking of going? Well, I'm thinking of, you know, California. I'm like, okay, but why? What have you heard of the HBCU? They're like, oh, most of the time, no. Most of the time, no. So now, as you know, a person who's attended the HBCU, now I have to run down the list of reasons why you should attend. And I think that if you catch people before they get into habits or before they get into feeling like they'll never get to this place or it's not meant for them, you have to offer like some inspiration and motivation to them to kind of lift them up. But I definitely like working with youth and young adults because they're going to run the...
That's exactly what I say. In 20 years, this country will be a majority minority country with them. I'm 37, so with them being my age, I need them instead of working at a high school, I need you to be leaders in the whole world. Because all of those opportunities will be afforded to you because of the sheer numbers that we have. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes. And you, as an educator, as someone who has direct contact, right, you definitely have to spark that flame, plant that seed, however you want to call it, to provoke thought, to provoke some type of, you know, stream in their mind that I can do this, I am capable. It doesn't always have to look like an HBCU graduate, a college graduate, but we have to figure out what this journey looks like for you.
Right. Start
thinking about what your future looks like. And we're not saying, you know, shut all the fun down, because please live your 20s. Please, please.
True. Live your life. I want you to have fun. Right. All life.
20s, you don't get those back.
Yeah, you don't get them back. You don't get them back. Yeah.
In the 30s, you're hoping that, you know, you're making more money. So I do say, like, absolutely, live your life, but think about your future. What, live the life you have now, but think about what kind of life you want in the future as well. And I will say this, I am biased for STEM. If I am meeting anyone that is looking to go to college, I am promoting science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I think it's STEAM now, so we throw art as well in there. I definitely am like, hey, look at these and figure out how to make one of these work for you, because these are also some of the number one majors that are getting you scholarships.
Mm.
So I know that everyone fears student loans, and they are something to fear. Mm-hmm. So if you can get as much financial support through grants and scholarships, which HBCUs tend to offer way more than PWIs, you know, you definitely have to think of it like that as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely, I wear my support Black colleges and universities hoodie like every day. It's like a staple now.
Yes, I got mine too. I wear it too. I'm like, yes.
I didn't go to an HBCU, but I see the confidence that everybody I meet that graduated from an HBCU has, mm-hmm. and I support success no matter what, but
I was like, the journey may not be this, but you do need to understand what, you know, and also what is success for you.
So the way you teach mathematics is the way I teach success. And success is, there's no right answer in success either. So, like in math, you can get a right answer and you can get it in multiple ways, but success is a little different. And when you're dealing with a limited mindset or what's the opposite of growth mindset?
I think you hit it on the hill, having a limited, am I that tired? Hit it on the hill, hit it on the nail. a limited mindset is definitely, I think that in any capacity will always hold you back from being successful.
But how do we get the students to open up their that limited mindset? Because like STEM is becoming more popular, but helping students to recognize the skills that they have and to mm-hmm. want to do some extra work and stuff, like that's what I'm having a problem with, and that kind of troubles me, because like I'm dealing with some of the top students in the school, like I'm talking top 20, top 50, because I work with like dual credit, and mm-hmm. I'm like, so you just gonna sit here through your whole study hall and play on your phone the whole time when you could be studying for your you don't have to do nothing at home, or you can just look over your notes for you see, like this little stuff like that. That's not going to bode well for the future and the future you learning, because I mean, not a lot of people know that. Formal education to make you a living, self-education to make you a fortune. So you're going to have to learn some stuff over the years. And like I was riding home today and it was like, do y'all really understand what it's going to be like when you get out?
Right. Oh gosh, that's funny.
Am I like I mean I because I sit there and I'm trying to reason with them. I'm trying to, you know, and no, it's no reasoning. Like, you don't know what's out there. Like, I graduated with my master's degree in the middle of the Great Recession, and a lot of my friends did, and we had to put in work. I'm talking like we had degrees, we had experience, we had all this, but there's lines around the block waiting for these jobs that we qualified for, but we can't get because, you know, somebody with 15 years of experience or whatever lost their job and or whatever, you know what I mean? And what does that life look like for you is my thought. Like, and they not even thinking about it. They not even thinking about it. They just like, oh, I don't, I just gonna live with my mom and work at the mall.
Yeah, I think there's a disconnect and probably some lack of self-confidence, or just being competent. Last week, I do these bi-weekly calls at work with my team, and a lot of people have troubles identifying the great qualities about themselves mm-hmm. that will make them successful.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people I work with, they're amazing. They're very smart. I can ask them anything and know I'm going to get an answer back, but struggle with explaining why they are amazing, why are they remarkable, what traits do you love about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to pull those out of even some of the greatest people. So I wonder if that comfortability comes from, you know, lack of self-confidence, maybe not understanding how to love the things that are great about you, or how do the things that I'm good at or great at,
mm-hmm.
you know, coincide with, you know, what I want my future to look like. Because like I said, in HBCU, we would love for it to be the way for you. But, you know, there's trade schools. There's mm-hmm. so many opportunities that can take you to where you want to be, but it really is up to you. So I wonder, you maybe that's something you should ask them, like, why do you think you're amazing? You know, mm-hmm. do you even think you're amazing? And then right there, that's where we're going to start to, like, connect this disconnect that mm-hmm. we're having. It seems like there's a disconnect between the two. I haven't
go ahead.
Been to high school in a while. I go to, every now and then I go back to my high school and I see my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's a difference in the generations that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And something has to really spark that flame for them. And I think the first thing is figuring out, what are you good at? You know, there's something that you're good at. Or what is something that you want to be good at?
Yeah. What intrigues you, interests you.
Right, because it's crazy. You can say anything. You know, even if someone said, I want to be an astronaut, okay, well, you know, how's this world go? But you can definitely be the person that gets somebody in space. And that's just a great effort as it takes to go up there.
I was having a conversation this morning with a student, and I was like, especially Black people and Black males at the same time, mm-hmm. we looking for the home run, the lottery win. Like, we looking to go to the NFL, NBA. Like, that mm-hmm. is a lottery. Like, it's one in however many hundreds of thousands that get to do that, you know? And that's what our mind is set on. But we're not looking at the many jobs that are connected to the NBA, NFL, and saying, hey, there's a lack of self-assessment with our young people. I don't know that because I've always been a self-assessor. Like, I'm like, what do I need to do to get this goal or whatever? And I'm like, what do you need to do? Like, let's figure it out. Like, I think it's a combination of many things. Like, the generations now are kind of artsy And you know how artsy people are. They just go off of whims and but still artsy people, they put in work. I saw a dude on
They
TikTok.
are, yeah.
He said one of those, I mean, he did a pencil drawing that looked lifelike. I mean, and he said it took 200 hours to do. And I was
Job
like,
is working on your craft.
exactly. And I'm like, well, where are y'all working on y'all craft? What are y'all going to do? That scares me, not knowing what I'm like. I don't have no purpose to something to go after. That scares me, and I'm scared for them because I know what this world has for in store for you if you don't know what you want to do,
And you
especially
know,
as black and brown people.
you think of the NFL and the NBA, right? You associate a career with them as like being on the field. But there are thousands of jobs off the field for an NFL or an NBA team, hockey league, soccer team. And I think people forget about those jobs. And even being a creative, right? I have a lot of friends that are creative and they work very hard to produce their work, and it takes hours, days, weeks. And I wonder if maybe setting up projects that coincide with that stuff. I mean, I'm sure that there's career days and, you know, some things may not be as intriguing or fun, but it's almost like you would have to start thinking of like what majors are out there. What do you like to do, and what if you had to pick like a dream, right? Let's start looking at your
Just anything. I'm telling
right.
you, I have these. I have the whatever you about to say, I done said already.
Maybe it's you know, not you personally, but maybe they want to hear it from, you know, somebody else. It's almost like when your parents tell you to stop doing something and then the stranger tells you, like, well, maybe I won't do that no more. Or, you know, your teacher tell you to be quiet, but then mama come up there and then she tell you to be quiet. Two different messages. And, you know, it's even like when people do career days and they bring people up there, you know, sometimes you have to bring up people that look like them, that can speak to what they're doing, you know, in a persuading and fascinating way. And I know some people, okay, so, and be able to display like the results of their work, because I think that even when I have friends show me what they're working on, I'm like, shoot, maybe I should be in like data analytics. Because that looks way more fun and way, you know, way more people than that, you know, displaying like the results of like what has happened with this company over the past year. Why this sounds boring, but when I look at it visually, you know, it looks intriguing. It's something that I would be interested in. How can I do this? But yeah, no, I know. And it's just like this little match, you know, that little mustard seed just means something to y'all. That's something. And I, you know, those we can't give up on these. Absolutely not. We have to just keep digging until we hit something, because it will be leading. Well, we're gone.
Right. Because
You know,
that's
your kids, cousins, nieces are growing up in this world. You know, it'll be the people that are in high school right now or in college right now that will, you know, be leading this country and leading organizations and stepping up communities. So even if it's a challenge, you know, it's like a lifelong challenge,
Of
you know.
course. And I've dedicated my life to this already. I've already,
I can tell.
you know what I mean? So it's you know, it's near and dear to me, but I just, and there's no but. I don't think they realize how important they are. Like not the younger ones. I'm talking about the 17, 18 year olds. Like I know I need them to be leaders in the next 20 years, and I need them to be working towards it, because it ain't just a snap of the fingers and you don't just turn on a switch, that you are and not leaders, but like I need you highly knowledgeable in some subject matter so that you can take over and give that innovative perspective, because you came from where you came from, because the people at the top are not going to be able to change the world for the people at the bottom. And we've been at the bottom too long, and now we're starting to we're starting to pick up momentum, because this country is going to be a majority minority country. So I need you to start now, and for the next 20 years, you be on a constant growth in your life, and not just financially, because we know people can make money. I need you to be a well-rounded person for that leadership responsibility, and the right kind of leadership, because we already got people in offices, businesses, Fortune 500, Fortune 100, or whatever, you know, that aren't good people. You see what I'm saying? And I need you to develop and not to be like they are, just so you can take their place and do exactly what they're doing, and for selfish reasons. I need you to be the leader that can lead everybody and not just your people. Does that make sense?
It does. And I like how you said they don't quite understand how important they are, because right now your journey we just need to get them to see, you know, what you see, because their journey it's already been, you know, predetermined, right? We just need you to step into that and own it, mm-hmm. right? Own who you want to be, own your future. And I think that in whatever capacity that you live your life, you will be influencing someone,
mm-hmm.
right? Whatever job position you take, entrepreneur route you take, whatever that is, someone will look at you because you look like them, and you will influence them, right? So mm-hmm. what do you want to see? You know, I think that's also something to think about, is when you're a kid or a kid sees you, what are you hoping they gather from you? You know, what are you hoping to gather from your future self? What do you think that looks like? Are you proud of what that looks like? Does it resonate with you? Because that's really what's going to happen, right? In 10 years, you're going to look back and say, I wonder if this person, this young woman, this young man, or, you know, however you identify, will they be proud of this person? You know, did I get to where I thought I would get to? Or am I happy where I'm at? Did I get to a point where I felt successful in my own personal way? You know, not what others thought would be best for me. Because we all, like you said, success looks different for everyone. Success looks different when you're 17 than it does when you're 30. So I think, yeah, like, what does you right now, like, could you write a letter to your future self and your hopes and dreams and just keep it, you know? And then whenever, you know, do a little time capsule, however you want to do it, in a couple of years, read that and see how much you believe in yourself. Because I think that people have the capacity to believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've already noticed that there's someone like yourself that believes in them, no matter how hard they try you or how many times you're like, are you really going to give up? I think that you are that saving grace for a lot of students. And I actually told my best friend, who's a former educator, that, you know, where parents drop the ball most of the time, a teacher is there to pick that up and help your student through the day. Since students are with their teachers, they're probably at home actively. And so, you know, it sounds like you believe. And I think that, you know, it's a gift that those kids have someone like you there to, you know, support them and always hope for the best for them. But I think that there's just a little more work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure it out because what'd you say?
And a strong prayer.
I only got so much time staying in the school system. Like, I can only do so much. I can only do so much paperwork. You know, like, all of this stuff that, like, the conversation I'm having, the things that I have to do to get them to think on another level is extra on top of my regular job. And, like, it wears on me because I can get paid to speak to a life coach, to do all these different things. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to do that for this the younger generation. But I'm like, they only paying me so much here. And, you know, they taking up some time where I could be. I know directly what y'all need to do. Like, the school is a tool. It's not the end all be all. It's the tool to get you where you want to go. And sometimes using that tool, you have to use it. Use some of those tools when you don't want to use those tools, and you got to go the slow route. And I get that it's boring or whatever. And maybe I just need to talk to them like that, like this, and just tell them, like, I need you to be leaders, and I need you to develop something that is in you and cultivate your gift that is an idea right now. And your gift oftentimes whispers what I heard, and you're not going to figure out what your gift is until you put in the work to go towards it. And it's that idea that you have that we need 20 years from now, when you are my age, we're going to need that gift, and we're going to need it to come out of you in a big, and not even a big way, but in your world, wherever you walk, we need that gift to be there and to be given to everybody. So I guess I need to stop discussing it with them and turn into, I believe in you. This is why I believe in you. And I'm just keep on saying that over and over and over again. That's going to be my strategy, because maybe, I mean, they need to hear the positivity more than they, like, I can tell them all the negatives that can happen. You know, you can have a baby and then this and that, whatever, but I'm not trying to do that. Like, I don't want to be negative Nancy or whatever. I'm trying to, I need to get you on the path to, because I believe you can create. And what I have been asking them is, like, what is in your imagination? If you could do or be, or, like, not even just job, like, where do you want to be at? Like, let's go create that.
Live in the States? Do you see yourself traveling out the country? Do you see yourself going to museums, conferences? Like, do you see yourself speaking on a massive stage to people about something that you've developed or you're great at? Like, what does it look like for you?
And I don't even the 4.0 students, like, they are just stuck in the, maybe they might be just stuck in the cycle of, hey, I was just, you know, I just get the work done. They tell me what to do. I do it and I get good grades. You know what I mean? And without the connection of, this is what I can do with what I have, and this is where I could possibly be. And even those students that they want to be pediatricians and stuff like that, and they can be, but they have the, and I tell them this every day, you have the greatest resources ever. In history, you have the greatest resources for information and you don't even use it. And they sit here and tell me, like, their opinions and assumptions about everything about life. And I'm like, that don't sound right to me. So, you know, why don't you Google that and get some more information to have get a well-rounded conclusion? Oh, well, the internet be lying sometimes. I'd be like, even if it is a lie, we can figure it out if it's a lie, but at least we get some extra information.
That is funny. All right, so let's talk about how we research resources. Talk about non-biased websites.
Right. And all I'm saying is, like, it'd be like, what is the salary for construction workers? And they'd be like, I think I'll be getting paid this much or whatever. And I'm like, why don't you just ask Google? And you could probably get some numbers that you could work with. Because I don't know.
You don't have to guess.
You don't have to guess on
this. Construction work. Don't sleep. Okay. And then why not take it a step further and start thinking about architectural design, right?
Right.
I grew up between the two, right? Google and like encyclopedias. So I do remember writing a report on Marco Polo, and I had to like check out Marco Polo encyclopedias and physically write it. And then also now I'm like, I don't know what I would do without my phone to Google stuff, because if I have a question, I'm like, I'm just gonna Google it.
You get a little bit of information to get you in the right direction, right?
Right. And there's so many ways to look up stuff, and you know, maybe a career day. You know, I don't know. I just like, what can I do? I know people that when I think of career day, I'm like, one of y'all got to connect with one of these people here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, because everybody, all my friends, they are from everywhere. We've all had different upbringings, and none of them have been easy. So I'm like, somebody here you have to resonate with. There's something
right,
here.
Right.
You want to make money, then you need to learn. Okay. You need to be smart. I'm not gonna say you have to work real, real hard, right? Because everybody's working pretty smart now, you know.
Right.
But there's still some underlying foundational things that need to be completed, and you know, it starts here. High school. Yeah. It literally starts here.
I struggle with that, and I'd be wanting to get other people's opinion just because, you know, I want to be well-rounded and understand from multiple angles, not just my angle. And I think I do a good job of you know, exploring a lot of different angles. I just like to get, you know, highly successful people's take on it and and see where it goes, where the conversation takes us.
Yeah, it's
interesting,
you're competing against, you know, influencer life. Yeah. You know, that's what you're competing against. And you're trying to help them understand that substance. You need to be a person of substance, right?
Right.
You need to offer more than, you know, your presentation, but you need to offer some type of understanding that the world will work in many different ways and you need to adapt.
Yeah.
Which means you need to learn, step outside of your comfort zone and step outside of, you know, even your culture.
Yeah.
That's what traveling and stuff is for. Yeah. That's what Google is for. You know, you can YouTube. You can do a lot of things. But what are you looking up? You know, what are your interests? You know, maybe we got to throw in a couple things to test, you know, just testing. Yeah. See, like, hey, do you like this? Do you like that? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? What, you know, what does it look like?
Because I'm a reverse engineerist. Like, I made that word up, but... reverse engineering is a thing, but I just do it, like, and that's my gift, and I don't understand not being a creator of your life, and I don't understand, well, I understand it because, like, I wasn't that that person. But I always was reverse engineering everything that I did when I look back on my life. Like, if I had a goal, I'd be like, all right, this is what's going to put me in position to be successful at it. So I'm going to just practice until I get that opportunity, just like when I play basketball. Like, mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be an undersized, like, I'm playing against somebody that's 5 inches taller than me and 20 pounds heavier than me. Like, mm-hmm. how do I get the advantage over that person? So I need to do this, and this. I got to work on this because, you know, all of these different things. And just sitting here, and you have the the greatest resources ever, and you telling me that you can't look at your life now and create a different life just in your imagination? That baffles me. I'm just like, what? What is it? Like, even if you based it off an influencer or a YouTuber or whatever, let's go after that. Because you will be in a much better place if we just started using that imagination and you think it's a possibility, but you have limited your thinking to, oh, that's only something that they can do. Well, I came from a not so good high school, so I'm not going to be able to do it. Let's just be honest, you know, and, you know, it's.
Yeah, I mean, we all come from, you know, I went to the high school that, you know, they try not to send their kids to. So I definitely get that, but I know that, you really do have to find something within you. People can tell you all day, every day, how amazing you are, how great you can be. Your options are limitless. But do you believe that?
Right. Right.
Right. Because you'll feel like an imposter. You'll feel like your life don't know. You should believe that. Mm-hmm. You should believe it. I would hope. And if you don't already, you should believe that you have purpose every day you wake up. And you don't have to define your passion, but every day you wake up and you have a purpose in this world. And I think that some people may doubt that about themselves. And even me, it's taken me a very long time to get to this point to know that, every day I have a life to live and I need to do that. I need to do something that makes me happy. I need to help someone. Mm-hmm. I need to take a small win today because I take too many L's already. You know, a small win is a win regardless. And my L's are always lessons. And I may make the same mistake over, you know, a couple times, but with each failure, I will learn something different from it. One of my friends said, I am so smart because I fail a lot. And that's true. You know, you can't be scared to fail or you'll never succeed. And I know firsthand that is very true because I've worked on a project for weeks at this point. And every time I fail, I'm like, that didn't work. So that means the next time someone else tries this, I can tell them, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You already did that. And when I finally get to that successful point and I get it working and the results are coming in the way I expected, I now know, first thing is, I figured it out. Second thing is, I'll be able to help someone else figure it out when they come along with the problems.
Yeah. And that's what our gifts are for, is to help somebody else that came from a similar background. That's what I'm saying. 20 years from now, you could be the one to help another person from your same neighborhood get out. Like,
yes.
But let's get back to the book. You are co-author of the book coming out, the Royal University Queens Second Edition by the HBCU Experience Movement. Can you give us a snippet of what your chapter covers and then leave us with some words of advice, words of wisdom? We got about 5 minutes left.
Okay, well, yes, the second edition for the HBCU Queens comes out this Thursday, September 30th. So it's available on Amazon. My chapter will discuss my journey from California to the great city of Houston. And it will also leave some really awesome gems that I think people will walk away with. And you can apply these personally and professionally. And something to take away is that I always say, give yourself some grace. Your goals, you'll get there. Never give up, but always give yourself grace. You do not have to take on everything at once, and it does not all have to be done in a day. So when you think about your future and when you think about the present and even the past, give yourself some grace for your growth.
I like that. I like that a lot. Give yourself some grace for your growth. I have to write that down. And I appreciate the conversation. You are an amazing person. Just like all the other queens that I have interviewed, you all are amazing. Like, y'all do amazing stuff. Y'all are amazing. And I am so appreciative of the opportunity to get to interview you all for this book and then read your chapters when they come out.
Awesome. Yes. All the queens. Amazing. Their journeys. I've listened to some of their lives, and I'm just like, this is an amazing sisterhood. This is definitely something that I didn't realize would take off. I thought, you know, once I was Miss TSU once, you know, that's it. I'm moving on. But almost 10 years, next year is 10 years for me. And it's still impactful. And I think that's amazing. So, yes, shout out to all the queens. Shout out to my Miss TSU. She sparked the flame in me. And I hope that whoever listens to this knows that, you know, the journey starts when you want it to start.
I appreciate you. Thank you again. I'm sorry it's so late, and I hope.
I'm so sorry we had to reschedule.
Nah, you're fine. You're fine. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Success is My Religion podcast. Go get the book. We are partnering with the HBCU Experience Movement for the HBCU Royal University Queen's Second Edition. It's coming out September 30th. Go get it.